In the spirit of Christ, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Wow, what a crowd here today. Gee, I wonder why. Let me think. Well, we welcome you all here today, visitors and regulars alike, and also our friends on Facebook. And this is a kind of special day here today. I've been a member here for 27 years, and I do not remember ever, in fact, in my whole life, when a minister was gone for a Sunday, for whatever reason, that his wife was the person giving the sermon and doing the leading the service. And we actually have that happening today. Deanne is in robe up here. Not that we don't miss you, Pastor Mark. I know you're watching. It's a whole new world with this, isn't it? Anyway, the beautiful flowers, three arrangements left from by the family from Blanche Samohovitz's memorial service last Monday. And Sue had a couple of things to say about that. Oh, you want that?
Sure. Well, the service on Monday was wonderful. For those of you who were here, you know it was just glorious. Blanche's spirit was here all day long. I told Pastor Mark, she was in the kitchen with me, telling me what to do. Anyhow, the meal was successful, and I want to thank everyone who contributed to the meal and helped with the serving and the cleanup. It went very well. Also, I'd like to mention that next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month, so we will be doing Advent House lunches. And I was thinking that maybe if a few people could come at 9 or 9:30, we could get some of the pre-work done so that we can put the lunches all together right after service, right after coffee hour. So if you think that you can come early next Sunday to help put sandwiches together and put cookies in bags, let me know after church today or give me a call. That's all.
Thanks, Sue. Roger Kennedy. Calling Roger Kennedy.
Hi, I have a couple of important dates for you to remember. The first date will be July 14th. We are again going to participate with the Give a Kid Backpack Program in Holt, Michigan, and this will be our summer outreach project. They again need as many backpacks as we can furnish, and the reason we need them early by July 14th is that they will start distributing everything during that following week, because Holt is on year-round school program schedule, so they will start giving those backpacks out early. I know school just got out for most of you people who have people in school or know of people in school, but the need is still as urgent. They're looking for, of course, three-ring binders, pencils, things like that. And I will get a list, because this year they're trying to separate the kindergarten through fifth grade and sixth grade through 12th grade. The needs are a little different for those backpacks, and I'll get a list on the whiteboard. The other thing I want to bring up is the Lugnuts baseball game. Our outing this year is August 20-something or other, 4th. And but we need to have reserved the tickets again by the week of July 14th. So if you plan to go, it's again $37 this year per person, because food's going to be included. And we need to have those ordered the week after July 14th. So any questions on any of those, see me. Thanks.
I think you're up to date now. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I suppose.
I just wanted to let all of you know that next week's special music is going to be very special. Shirley has arranged to have Gretchen Morse, who is the principal oboist and English horn player for the Lansing Symphony, will be here playing. She and Su Jin will be playing, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. And I mean, there are other reasons to come to church, but that's a real good start.
It is. Now, let us be in the spirit of worship. Didn't expect that to be so short. Please join me in the call to worship from Psalm 8. In worship today, we thank God for the barriers broken down through Christ.
Those barriers include hostility and fear based on our differences.
The scriptures remind us of the oneness of all in Christ.
We are different and uniquely created, yet we are one.
Gender, nationality, and social status are among things that do not matter to God. We thank God for the Holy Spirit, the cherished and promised agent which brings everyone together through Christ. Amen. Please stand for our opening hymn if you are able.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious and loving Lord, we know you are everywhere, but we've chosen to gather in this place this morning. We seek the safe place of familiarity, friendship, and faith in our chosen family of God. Help us to find all of that here today. But even in this family, there are differences of age, color, gender, perspective, and experience. Yet we celebrate our oneness in Christ. May we be inspired to share our oneness with those outside of our gathered community, so that all might find belonging and oneness because of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. On page 400 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's first reading, Psalm 42, verses 1 to 5. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Thank you.
On page 145 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading, Galatians 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Have you ever gone to Bible school or Sunday school and heard this little saying, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Do you remember that? I certainly learned that when I was a little child, and I have never forgotten it. So it's time for our giving. And as we give our time and our resources, we're not wasting our time. We're not wasting our money. It's an investment that will last forever. It will bring dividends long after our 401k has been totally depleted and we are with God in heaven. It's still giving dividends here on earth. In fact, investing in God's work is an investment that will last forever. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So we'll ask our ushers to come forward at this time.
Thank you.
beautiful as always, Sujin. Please rise for the doxology, hymn 563, if you don't know it.
Shall we pray together? Gracious God, we have come today to this place from many walks of life. We have come today because our souls long for God. We're grateful to you, O God, for rescuing us from hopelessness and death through Christ. But we are needy people. We ask you, O Lord, to come and help us. Help our nation, our president, and our government leaders to do what is right and what honors you. Help our governor and our Senate and House in our state of Michigan that we love to make good decisions for the good of all people. Help our city of Lansing, our mayor, and city council to have wisdom and lead with integrity. And help our church here at Mayflower to be a light in this community. Help us each one individually to spread that light throughout this community. And Lord, we ask that you will bring healing and restoration to the people that we remember: Velma Brown, Phyllis Comer, Keith Cox, the Craig Memorial Congregational Church, Reverend Marilyn Danielson, Don Green, Jim Noble, Joyce Palmerton, Sheila Rembrandt, Chris Singer, Bonnie Smith, Linda Williams, and Jean Wine. We pray for a special touch this morning, Lord, as their names were read, and now we bring to you the needs, our own personal needs of our own family members, our friends, as we mention their names right now. Jim. Now, O Lord, we ask for ourselves that we may live our lives to please you and to become everything you have called us to be. Help us to work together for this cause. And help us as we pray together the prayer you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie and Bob and Kim, for the beautiful music this morning. On page 52 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's gospel reading, Luke 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm so happy to see all of you, and some of you I didn't expect to see this morning. Some of you I did, but it just thrills my soul to see all of you here this morning. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. I do bring you warm greetings from your pastor. He told me last night on the phone before we said goodnight that he had just heard In Cleveland, he is at the National Congregational Convention. I mean, these are congregational ministers from all over the country, primarily. But he said, "I just heard the finest, most challenging, most inspiring sermon I have ever heard in my entire life." And so, trust me, he is receiving a lot of inspiration from this convention and is excited about it, and I'm excited for him. But thank you all. I won't name your names because I'll forget somebody, and I do love you all dearly. I suppose, though, you are wondering how I got up here and how I got this robe on. And where did it come from? So I'm going to just tell you. Actually, I'm kind of wondering the same thing myself, but this robe came from the back of the church hanging on the coat rack. I found it, and it fit, so I'm wearing it. And as far as the reason I am actually up here in the pulpit, I will say, is because of a couple things. One is, I have been inspired greatly by my husband. And he has encouraged me so much and has given me so much confidence to do this. So thank you, Pastor Mark. I have also been inspired by another pastor in our conference, in our district. This pastor's name is Christine Murphy, and she is a newly appointed pastor at the Horton Congregational Church. Christine, or Chris, I call her, and I met at the Congregational Women's Retreat, which we have every year, ladies, in January. And Chris's story of faith and her calling inspired me to the core. And then finally, I've been inspired by the women here at Mayflower. We have been studying the women of the Bible every Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. And I have learned so much from this study and from the women of the Bible and from the women of Mayflower. So I'm excited to share with you this morning, and thanks for giving me this opportunity. Now, our scripture readings this morning were read so beautifully by Lorraine, and were from Psalms 42, Galatians 3, and Luke 8. Have you ever wondered who decides what scriptures will be used every Sunday? Probably Pastor Mark chooses them, right? Wrong. Pastor Mark does not choose the scriptures. They were already chosen for him. Have you ever heard the word lectionary being used from time to time by our pastor? Well, I want to give you this morning just a little short history lesson of the lectionary. The word lectionary comes from the Latin word lectionarium, which means book or listing of scriptures. The Jewish community, dating back thousands of years, had a schedule of scripture readings from the Torah and the prophets, which was to be read in the synagogue on each Sabbath. Then, when Jesus came, it was his custom to go to the temple every Sabbath and listen to the reading of the scriptures. That's what we do every Sunday. We have three readings of the scripture. In the fourth chapter of Luke, it tells us that Jesus himself read from Isaiah 61 before his ministry had even begun. In fact, it inaugurated his public ministry. But after the death and resurrection of Christ, the early Christians continued to maintain that custom, reading from the Old Testament each Sabbath, and soon they added writings from the early apostles and the evangelists, which in part became our New Testament. Then at the Second Vatican Council in 1965, the Catholic Church decided to unify all the various scripture readings into what we call the lectionary, a three-year cycle of scripture readings, which includes special readings for the Christian calendar, such as Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, and Pentecost. And by the way, we are not in any one of those special seasons right now. We are in a season called Common Time. And that is represented by the green color on the stole. And it represents growth. So you will see green growth until it's time for Advent. Well, then in 1994, just 25 years ago, the Catholics and the Protestants got together and published the Revised Common Lectionary. And that is where we get our scripture readings from each Sunday. Here's the beautiful thing about the lectionary. We can share the reading of the same scriptures with millions of Christians, literally millions of Christians all over the world, every Sunday, reading those same scriptures in their congregation. And also, another advantage for the pastor's point of view, preaching from the lectionary encourages the pastor to read and study texts from the Bible that might not be his favorite or her favorite, that might not be familiar, that might even be difficult. And it helps the pastor avoid this idea of just getting common texts and favorite texts from the Bible and preaching the same old, same old. So, Now, that's the boring part. That's the lectionary history. And I felt like you kind of need to know that, because I know I wanted to know it. I figured you did, too. So, our first lectionary reading is from Psalm 42, about longing for God. Like a deer panting for water, the psalmist thirsts for God. Evidently, there's a crisis going on in this scripture, because the psalmist's tears, it says, have been his food day and night. His soul is cast down. He feels he doesn't even know where God is. So he reminds himself to trust and hope in God. He has to remind himself of that. By faith, he calls out to God. Have you ever been there? Have you been in those difficult positions? I have. Many of you know some of my story. A sickness, a financial need, the loss of a loved one, a broken relationship. What do? When we face the difficult times, we do what the psalmist did. We remind ourselves to hope and trust in God. And then our gospel reading today was from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Now this was the story that Lorraine read last. Did you think that was kind of a bizarre story? Yes. It's a frightening story, in fact. Jesus and the disciples had left Galilee. They got into a boat, and they sailed across the Sea of Galilee to a Gentile country called Gerasenes. I'd never heard of that country before. Maybe you have, but I had never. It's the only time, I think, that we hear about it in the Bible. It's just a small Gentile country. So, here's Jesus. He had barely stepped off the boat when he was greeted by a man possessed by demons who went around town naked and did not live in a house, but lived in a tomb. Did you catch that? It was in the scriptures. It was read just a few minutes ago. I don't think Jesus' first impressions of Gerasenes was very good. When the people saw Jesus cast out those demons from this man, and by the way, send the demons into a herd of swines, the word got around the town, and the town people became frightened. So when the people went looking for the demon-possessed man, they found him. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind. Jesus definitely had demonstrated his power and authority in this little Gentile town. This miracle foreshadowed the inclusion of the Gentiles to the gospel of Christ. In fact, that Gentile man didn't have trouble believing that Jesus was the Son of God. He wanted to get in the boat and follow Jesus, just like one of Jesus' disciples. But Jesus turned to him and instructed him to stay in his town and tell everyone in his town what God had done for him. That Gentile town had seen for themselves the Son of God. And why did Jesus decide to get in that boat and go to that little obscure town anyway? Don't you think that he could already see the big picture, that the gospel was not just for the chosen, but he had come for the entire human race? Surely that little town was never the same again. And our final reading actually was our second reading today from the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. This actually was the favorite, the book of Galatians was the favorite of many people because actually Martin Luther loved it so much because the theme of it is faith in Christ, salvation by faith in Christ. So we're going to back up just a moment to the second chapter of Galatians. It's clear that the Galatian church was in stress. They had a big problem. Churches do, you know. Many churches have problems. And the church, the problem was this. The church was beginning to fill up with Gentiles. Gentiles, meaning anyone who wasn't a Jew, were not familiar with the law of Moses. They were not circumcised. They probably ate pork. They worked on the Sabbath. They ate meat that had been sacrificed to idols, etc., etc. In other words, they did not keep the law. They didn't fit in. They were different. Their skin was a different color. They spoke different languages. Their clothing style was different. They ate different kinds of foods. They listened to different kinds of music. They worshiped differently. Some of the Jewish believers tried to convince the Gentile believers that to be a member of God's family, you must be circumcised. You must look and act like us. Sound familiar? Do you remember Abraham way back in the 15th chapter of Genesis, the father of the Jewish nation? God gave Abraham a promise that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham, the scriptures tell us, believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was 430 years later that the law was given to Moses. Paul explains in Galatians that the law was given to define sin. It certainly couldn't liberate from sin. Listen again to the words of Paul that we heard read this morning. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You see, before Christ came, God's people were identified by circumcision, which included only males. Now that Christ has come, we are justified by faith in Christ, and our outward sign of identity with Christ is our baptism. Baptism welcomes both men and women. And our law? It's the law of love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That includes a lot of stuff. We are under a harder law, actually, the law of love, because we have to determine, is that a loving thing to do or to say? Is that the loving way to deal with that person? That's our law. Again, from the Apostle Paul, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us on the cross. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Gentiles, remember, are everyone who's not a Jew. So it's for the Jews, yes, but it's for the entire human race. Dear friends, this morning, the barriers have been broken. Verse 28, there is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of us are in Christ Jesus by faith. And if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand.
Father, remain standing for the benediction. And now, dear friends, as we have heard this morning from the same lectionary scriptures that were read around the world today, we know that we will have sorrows in life. We will have stresses, just like the psalmist did. And what did the psalmist do? We will do what the psalmist did. We will remind ourselves, self, we must hope and trust in God. There will be times, even this week, where we need to remind ourselves to do that. And then let's be like that Gentile man from Gerasenes. Let's look around where we are, our community, Lansing, Michigan, Holt, Mason, Okemos, wherever you live. That's where we are planted. Jesus told that man, stay in your town and declare the glory of God to your town people. We have a mission field right around us. Let's share what God has done for us and share the mercies and love of Christ right where we are at. And then finally, let's rejoice that in Christ, the barriers are broken down. There is no hierarchy in Christ, none. For in Christ, there is no Jew nor Greek, there is no slave nor free, there is no male nor female. For in Christ, we are one in the Spirit. Amen.